Hallelujah. God really worked. And yes, interestingly, the March of the Nations, and I'll actually close the message, or at the end of the message, I'll mention that again, but the March of the Nations is going to be a celebration on May 14th and 15th. That is the Gregorian calendar date of the anniversary of Israel. The Israelis will be celebrating using all the convention center on the Hebrew calendar date, which is 2 weeks before. So it'll be a wonderful time to make an amazing expression of bringing Messianic believers and Gentile believers to express their love for Israel and their commitment that they will not be silent. They will stand. Amen. So the scripture that we were referring to was that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And so we saw this trip, I saw in new ways that I'd never seen before, the fact that God is indeed working. He's been working there for a long time, but there were some wonderful things that I'd never seen before. This is Charlotte and Jobst Bittner that we've spoken about. It's a little clearer picture, but this is a picture I took myself, and I wanted to show it because of the background. It's in a very luxurious section of Israel in Caesarea, Caesarea is how it's said in Hebrew, and they rent this facility there with the purpose of wining and dining and loving on Holocaust survivors. It's a very high-end neighborhood. Netanyahu's private home is located in that area. The only golf course in all of Israel is in that area along the Mediterranean coast. And we're sitting there on the porch. And Yop said this, and this is so crucial. He said, we love on them. We express our appreciation for them. We big build them up. And he says, and some of them come and they tell us that in their private times, in their own thinking, they say, you know, this Christianity, this thing of Yeshua, or however they put it, Jesus must be true. The way these people are treating us, there must be something to this. And some have come to faith and contemplated coming to faith and spoken to them about it. You know why? You can't argue with love. There's no argument to love. So these people are just showing unconditional, powerful love by all that they are doing. And I wanted to give a little history of their work. And I don't know why this is not going very well. I guess there. Okay, Jobst and Charlotte Bittner. They're the founders and directors of TOS. I think it stands for Tübingen Outreach something. Since the beginning of her service, her heart has been beating for the outsiders, the outcasts of society, both in Germany and in other nations. And when they came to Tübingen more than 20 years ago to study, they had no intention of staying even in the city. They're not natives of that particular town in Germany, but God had other plans. When they got together with other students to pray, it brought forth a lively congregational ministry, birthed in intense prayer, 24/7. Not everybody, of course, prays the whole time, but you pray in rotation, you pray in teams, but beseeching God in heaven. And Yeshua has amazing things to say about tarrying before him. And one of them initiated a reconciliation march from Berlin to Moscow in 1993 and brought thousands of people to Messiah and made a special connection with Belarus. Now, it's not widely known what the Germans did to Belarus. Belarus, sometimes called White Russia, is just east of Germany and east of Poland, actually. You go through Germany, then Poland, and then Belarus, and then Russia. And in addition to the Holocaust of the Jews, the Germans had a concept, the Nazis had a concept called Lebensraum. I'm probably not saying it right, Lebensraum, and which means room. And so when I was in Belarus with Stuart Winograd, 3 or 4 years ago, we went to the Belarusian memorial to their own actual genocide. This is a picture of a village that I took 2-3 years ago. It's a memorial. These were the chimneys, where the chimneys were, the cook stove was, and this whole village was burnt down as the Nazis marched their way through Belarus and would gather whole villages into the barn and destroy all the people. They deported some and killed some, and the population was to be exterminated so that Germans would have room to expand. So besides the Jewish Holocaust, there was a whole other Holocaust. Altogether, 2,230,000 people were killed in Belarus during the 3 years of German occupation. So the first march of reconciliation that Bittners did as Germans was to the Belarusians. And there's a very dramatic statue after this particular village. I don't remember the name of it, but after this particular village was burned, destroyed, immolated. There was one survivor, a grandfather, that managed to hide somewhere from the flames. And after the flames, he got out to find his family, and he found one recognizable grandson. But the grandson did not survive the fire. So Bittner's and Toss congregation did a march for the Belarusians. Other works that they have done that can be a pattern for us, I'm hoping. From 1997, a very successful rehab center for drug addicts, as well as an outpatient, not that we'll do all these things, but an outpatient work was created. In addition, outpatient rehab programs for drug addicts were launched in Greece and Siberia. At the same time, the vision was born to build 50 transformer houses for street children in Latin America. Transformer houses in Latin America since 1998. They've been building children's playgrounds for street children in Argentina, Bolivia, Peru, Paraguay, with the vision of giving these children a home and a chance for a successful future. It's Joop's and Charlotte's vision to see entire cities and nations changed and transformed by the power of God's love. Sometimes we think we're fighting an uphill battle and it's difficult and we'll maybe balance our budget and maybe do this. I want you to get a vision of the power of God. We saw God working this week. And some of the key people, these are what you could rightly call apostolic, breakthrough people. God has more of them around. The same time their hearts desire to meet the needs, the individual is in word and deed, 12 new congregations within Germany. They planted in 4 countries of Latin America. We planted long-term projects for street children, Belarus, Greece, etc. There's a lot of material here. Argentina and Bolivia, Joop's Bittner initiated national prayer movements with more than 60,000. Now that's the European way to write it, but that's really a comma in English thinking. 60,000 intercessors from different denominations. We actually have a 24/7 internet prayer modality being developed where you can sign on. It's not quite ready yet, but I want you to have it in mind. When we have it ready, there's 24 hours in a day and 7 days a week. That means there's 168 slots. Now, if you take off 3 for our worship time together, that's 165 slots. And if we each volunteered to take 1 or 2, we could fill that in and have that intensive prayer. Ted Pierce told me personally something that's not on there website, that they went into Bolivia and they had a 24/7 prayer meeting to give them a strategy for Bolivia. And what they got in mind to do was to buy a luxury hotel and to turn it into a, not just a Bible college, but a professional training college. However, they could get the teachers together and train people to infiltrate, young people to infiltrate society or participate in society as representatives of Messiah. So we're giving you free room and board, free because we want you to be outreach people to your own culture. They did this amazing stuff basically because they had a commitment to prayer. It was wrought in prayer. And here's a picture of the TOS building. It's not a huge building. It's not what you'd call an American megachurch. They have a conference center that's bigger than us, a little bigger than our facility. But it's not huge. It's not a mega church. Joop said he had 400 people, 400 members, but the people were committed to praying and loving and giving and tithing and serving. And so they are just people that we want to see blessed and prosper, and in every way we want to emulate what they're doing. Now, here's a little details about the March of Remembrance, the Burma Road and the March of Remembrance. Photograph of the March, so you get the idea of what the Burma Road is. This is a historical photograph. The Burma Road, as you've heard us say a little bit, was a diversionary road built around the British fortress of Latrun that was given, or at least the Arabs, the Jordanian Legion, took control of, so Jerusalem was in a deadly siege, and Jerusalem would have actually starved if they hadn't built this diversionary road. They couldn't take the fortress. They lost about 160 people trying to take that fortress. We had a service at that fortress because it was taken in the 67 war. But here's a picture of when they made the original Burma Road. And some of the hills we marched seem to have about this grade, maybe not quite this, but this is the original one. And a Caterpillar tractor is pulling, a bulldozer is pulling this truck because it's just too steep for the truck to make it up, so it's being pulled. That's the original efforts on the Burma Road and what made it possible to lift the siege of Jerusalem. So when we were there, It was just a very good historical place because Jerusalem is under siege again, you might say. Now this fellow spoke. I wasn't able to get all the stories of all the people who spoke, but this fellow who spoke, his grandfather made the statement one time when they got him talking about the war. We didn't kill enough Jews, is what his grandfather said. It shocked him because he didn't have that vision of his grandfather before that, at least not to that extent. This young lady, her grandfather served at Babi Yar. If you know the story of Babi Yar, that was one of the worst places of slaughter. There was a cliff, a drop-off cliff, and people, Jewish people, were assembled naked at the edge of the cliff and just shot. And there was hundreds of thousands of Jews that died at Babi Yar. One of her ancestors served at Babi Yar. So these people were making their confessions, and I'm telling you, by good works you overcome. This gentleman here, and if the clip plays, you'll get his name. This gentleman here is an Israeli general who came to express his appreciation for what was going on in the March of Remembrance. And the only thing I remembered about his story is he said he was one of the first ones off the plane at the Entebbe rescue. How many are familiar with the Entebbe rescue? A handful, just briefly. In the early days of the Palestinian terrorist attack, the Palestinians hijacked an airplane, took it to Uganda, took it to an airport in Uganda, and an airport of a city called Entebbe. And on the tarmac, they separated the Jews from the non-Jews, and they had a ransom that unless some terrorists were released, they were going to kill the Jewish people. And the Israelis mounted an amazing rescue, flew in on a C-130 and pretended to be Idi Amin. It's a long story, I won't go into it all right now, but they rescued about 100 captives at that airport. And Benjamin Netanyahu's older brother, Yonatan, was the leader of that rescue, and he actually was one of the few casualties. He was killed, but Jonathan actually was supposed to be the political leader. Benjamin took over that legacy in the family after Jonathan was killed. Nevertheless, this guy was the first soldier off the plane in Entebbe, and he was speaking about the value of life and how much he appreciated what these Germans were doing. And he said, you know, I have a son who was, I guess he's passed away, but was autistic. And he never could say a word. He never could say, Ima, Abba. He couldn't in any way give back love. But he said, I learned from him things I couldn't learn any other way. I learned the importance of protecting the defenseless and protecting the weak, protecting those who cannot protect themselves. And so in the time of the Holocaust, the Jewish people couldn't protect themselves, but some people intervened, and the Bittners now are intervening in terms of, and the March of Remembrance in terms of history. So there's a clip, I don't know if it's going to play, but there's a clip about Israeli TV coverage of the march. I'd like to play this clip if we can. And I will mute the rabbi.
What do you feel when I say the word Nazi?
For me, it contains guilt, it contains shame, it contains hate.
משפחתה של אנה ריינר מגרמניה הסתירה ממנה כל ילדותה שסבא של אמה היה נאצי. רק בגיל 16, ביום מותו, סבא רבא שלה חשף בפני אביה את העוולות האיומות שביצע.
He confessed that he was part of the killing.
What did you feel when you found out your great-grandfather was a Nazi?
It shocked me because he was a very kind man. He was my favorite grandfather. And for me it was like two different people.
אנה הגיעה הבוקר לתיכון בני דרור, סמוך לנתניה, לדבר עם תלמידים, יחד עם עשרות צאצאים של נאצים שהקימו את הארגון March of Life.
הצילנו, הצילנו,
הצילנו. זה לא מפגש עצוב, זה היה מרגש. אבל זה היה, הם נורא לקחו את זה למקום של שמחה ולמקום של לפתוח מציאות חדשה. על הרקע של הדבר הנוראי הזה. אבל לקחת את זה למקום טוב יותר של צעדות למען החיים. לעומת צעדות המוות שהיה בשואה.
הארגון הגרמני הוקם לפני 9 שנים על ידי בן של קצין נאצי ועוסק בהנצחת השואה ובמאבק באנטישמיות. חברי הארגון, כולם נכדים או נינים של נאצים, ספגו גם תגובות קשות כשהעלו לרשת גרסה שלהם לתקווה.
איזה שירות הוא מיה ולפת מזרח קדימה.
בשבוע שעבר צאצאי הנאצים צעדו לצד ניצולי שואה בדרך בורמה לציון איחוד ירושלים.
So right now, we're on the march of life. Through Israel. I guess the weather is very hot right now, so we're not used to that as Germans.
קשר השתיקה היה קיים גם במשפחתו של סמואל הס, ורק לפני 3 שנים הוא גילה שהוא צאצא של נאצים.
3 of my great grandfathers were soldiers in a German army and they murdered people and Jews.
סמואל בן 25 מודה שעד לא מזמן הוא היה אנטישמי.
I had some friends and we greet each other with the Hitler salute. And shout out Heil Hitler. And
as a joke?
Yes, as a joke, but
are you ashamed of what you did?
Yes. I tell it in Israel here in school and I say it to the pupils. I'm very sorry.
הרגע הכי מרגש עבור אנה היה כשפגשה היום את ניצול השואה, יעקב ארמון.
יעקב, how was it for you to meet with us Germans today?
I found it a very moving meeting. I almost became dizzy, if you noticed, because it really goes to my heart.
סמואל, אנה וחבריהם לארגון הגרמני המרשים March of Life ביקרו כבר ב-14 מדינות חוץ מישראל, והמשיכו לנסות להילחם באנטישמיות הגואה.
I feel ashamed, and because of that, it's important for me to say that I stand with Israel, and that I will not let it happen again.
Amen. So they are.
What do you feel when I say the word Nazi?
That's the beginning. That's starting over again. Okay, let's not show the second clip. The second clip just identifies all the Israeli officials that are receiving this with great joy and great appreciation for what God is doing. So I'm going to try to go through the rest of it as quickly as I can. This looks like snow, but it's just sand. It's just anyhow. This is some. Drawings or sculptures to show what the Burma Road, the original Burma Road work looked like. And then here's a sculpture showing a truck with a modern day driver in the truck. Some of you know Hyland Slobodkin. He's a rabbi in Seattle, Washington. And some of you also know this young lady that joined us for 4 days. We were just a joy. It was just a real joy to have Marina there. And I'm marching with a Belarusian flag. Somebody else had this flag, and I had just, I don't know what country I had, but I said, hey, my grandparents on my mother's side are from Belarus. I should be carrying the Belarusian flag. And so we did. So we're marching through the forests of Israel. Tell you the truth, I didn't hardly know Israel had forests like these. But this is an isolated road. It was out of earshot and out of cannon range of the fortress in Latrun, so they could successfully do the deliverance. So the Son of Man came to save that which was lost. God is working. I want to show you another thing that was really exciting. You know, I serve on the board of directors of Taisir Abu Sada's organization, and it's been through a lot of changes, but Little Heart School that has been developed there has a vision of shalom through relationships. Lessons are taught in Hebrew, English, and Arabic, and up to kindergarten age, and kids get to know each other and overcome their stereotypes. And I can't show faces because of political concerns and reaction, but the clientele they have there, they have Israeli Messianic Jews. Evan Levine's son attends there. They have some Orthodox Jewish kids or children of Orthodox families attending. They had one Muslim come because her son was really out of control and she needed to work, and she had terrible tantrums, and they managed to find a way to comfort him and to love him and to pray over him. And the boy calmed eventually. And what I was visiting with Cammie Walters about, it had been the director of the school, and she says they unashamedly teach Yeshua and the Torah and the festivals and salvation, but the power that won this young man and her family was the power of love. You can't argue with the power of love. So here's some pictures. These are cribs, double-decker cribs for the kids because they go from nursery through kindergarten. Double-decker cribs are provided by an unknown anonymous donor. Here's a picture of the facility that's beautifully remodeled. They're still working on it over there. They knocked out a wall. Funds have come in. The windows have been changed out. So it's a beautiful facility that they're working on. Here's one of the teachers that you'll sort of see. But anyhow, just to show you the facility they have there, the Little Heart School. It's an amazing statement of God working among the Messianic people. Vision Israel, Barry Matcha Siegel, that some of you may get their newsletter, but Vision for Israel is a nonprofit organization created by Barry Matcha Siegel. Barry's an American guy from Cleveland. And Matcha is an Israeli Yemenite, and they met in Israel. Anyhow, married believers. In 1994, they created the Vision for Israel, a desire to help build and restore the land. It provides help for needy people. A little like the Joseph Storehouse that we support, but it's a parallel organization. Both Jewish and Arabs, they support people living in land through Joseph Storehouse, an international humanitarian aid center operating in the Judean Hills. Here is a picture of the building. You know, I had said that the Joseph Project was like Costco. This is like Costco 8 stories high. It's incredible. And it's a parallel organization. And this building, they designed it. They had been in rental facilities in Jerusalem. My wife and I actually visited the Joseph Storehouse. It was in operation in 98 in the hills around Jerusalem. But because of rental and, you know, rentals and landlords and issues, this is their building. They own this building. And he designed it so that it's one of the most bomb-proof buildings in Israel. Poured concrete down, going down, I think he said 18 feet and reinforced, and it's amazing. And a room that's safe from radioactivity and from gas attack. And here's a little bit of the inside of it. It's in the city of Modain, which is not far from the Ben-Gurion Airport, the main airport. So this, when it's not quite completed yet, when it's completed, this will all be full of pallets of aid and supplies to people. This is unheard of in Israel, that God is blessing Messianics with this level of facilities. Another room that'll be full of supplies, and then they have another room that's going to be a worship center. And here is a rooftop picture that I thought I should show. And further, what Barry is planning on doing, this rooftop facility, they put a fence up so they have privacy, but it's going to be a place of special intercession and worship. And they're only about 8 or 9 miles from Ben-Gurion Airport. He says, I think we can get permission to have a light beam. You know, when the World Trade Center was destroyed for a while, they just had light beams. A vertical light beam. There's one in Country Club Plaza, too. Vertical light beam. So when planes come in, international planes come in, they'll see this pillar of light in the distance. People can ask, well, what's that? And they can hear that this is a messianic aid center for the people of Israel. What is this? You know, just an amazing statement of what God is doing. Now, another one I want to show you is the Hatikva Project. You've had Evan Levine here and last summer, and he'll be back again sometime in September, I think. We operate a first and only messianic nonprofit dental clinic in Israel. Our clinic is staffed by local Israeli believers, and our faith is not compromised. So these are people standing with wisdom, with discretion, with care, but standing for Yeshua. And the Ministry of Health sends people there that have needs, that they qualify. They will certainly take payment for people who can pay, but if people are certified by the Ministry of Health or welfare or whatever it is that these are in need, they'll send a voucher and they'll take the voucher, and it says on the voucher, so the people carrying it over there know, it says, beware. I guess it's hizahil in Hebrew. Hem Yehudim Mishichim. These are Messianic Jews. That's the warning that the people get. You go into a Messianic Jewish, not a Christian facility, a Messianic Jewish facility. Hallelujah. I think the government gave us a, yeah. So here's some pictures of Evan and Mirpat Clinic, Hatikva Clinic. And so Evan's there enjoying his cup of coffee. Okay, there's one of their, I think she showed you pictures like this in the very state-of-the-art facility that they have in Jerusalem, just off of Machane Yehuda, or on the Machane Yehuda market area. Just wonderful facility. So the March of the Nations is going to be taking place next year. There's the dates, May 13th through 15th. And these people of the Nations are supporting Israel, and we would do well to support them. We'll also have a wonderful tour, probably a longer tour than the one we did, so it's not quite so breakneck, and we'll cover some things that we, some significant things we didn't get to see. But I just want to close with this verse. I think this is my closing scripture. Rabbis tend to do that. You close 17 times and nobody believes you anymore. But I think this is the closing. We're not doing bad. With the hand of Adonai upon me, Adonai carried me. This is the vision of the prophet Yechezkel. Adonai carried me out by his spirit and set me down in the middle of a valley full of bones. He had me pass by all around, and there were so many bones lying in the valley, and they were so dry. And he asked me, human being, can these bones live? Now, you know, these bones are the house of Israel. And he answered, Adonai Elohim, only you know that. Good answer. Dodging the question. Therefore, prophesy. Now, this is the thing, though. The prophet was told, you prophesy. God didn't say, I'm going to fix this. He said, you prophesy. So the task goes to us as representatives of the kingdom of God and representatives of bearing and knowing the word. You prophesy and say to them. You say, well, I can't just prophesy. We can pray. We can get words from God. We can seek him. My people, I will open your graves and make you get up out of your graves, and I will bring you to the land of Israel. Now, this ain't about the church just getting revived. This is just what it says. It's about the Jewish people, the dry bones, the Holocaust survivors, the survivors of the pogroms and Inquisition and everything else. I will put my spirit in you and you will be alive. Then I will place you in your own land and you will know that I have spoken and I have done it, says Adonai. And so it's happening. It's really happening before our eyes. God is moving, but it's not a spectator sport. It requires that we love each other. It requires that we have an intense prayer time seeking him. It requires tithing, giving, serving, humbling ourselves, repenting before one another. So I'd like to call the worship team up, and I'd like us to have a time of prayer, praying that God would give us real awakening and burden and revival. And I know you're all serving, and you're all, but we need to go to a new level of commitment and service and blessing and giving and loving and supporting, that Yeshua can do exactly what he said in my text. The Son of Man has come. Ben Enosh, that's one of the titles of the deity of Yeshua. Bar Enosh, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Amen. How many believe he's come to seek and save the lost? How many believe he came so that we could just have a hard time and struggle and make it to the kingdom? How many believe he came so we could just have things to complain about? No, he came to seek and save the lost. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, here's a glorious song. And sung in many languages. I love that close. If you're committed, this is kind of putting everybody on the spot, but if you're committed to see the Son of Man seek and save the lost in this city, in this community, if you're committed and you'll do what it takes to see that go forward, I'd like you to stand with me and sing this song.